Have you ever been told you should smile more? If you're a woman, there's a good chance that you have, as this is a common microaggression that some men feel entitled to offer, well-meaning or not. The phrase also provides the title for the new book, You Should Smile More: How to Dismantle Gender Bias in the Workplace. It was written by six women who met at PepsiCo and have since served as C-suite executives in a wide variety of industries. They put together a manual on how to make micro improvements in the office, small changes that can have a big impact on creating a safe and equitable workplace. Here is one of the writers, Angelique Bellmer-Krems, to share the big ideas she developed with her co-authors.
We call ourselves the Band of Sisters. The six of us are longtime friends from decades working together at PepsiCo. We finally decided to put our ideas on paper to start a much-needed conversation in the workplace addressing everyday gender bias. These are not the big Me Too moments. These are the micro-offenses, the small indignities, barriers, and slights, many unconscious, which women face every day and many people didn't even know mattered. They are the particles that collect around us and create barriers to our careers, the walls that go up one grain of sand at a time and slow build until the unwelcome environment takes hold and women disengage. The good news is, we believe micro-offenses can be addressed by micro-improvements. There are little things that everyone can do that will go a long way to build a more inclusive workplace culture. And this creates the conditions for sustainable business success. I'm Angelique Bellmer-Krems, and on behalf of the Band of Sisters, here are five little things from our book that go a long way to dismantle gender bias. Number one, please don't tell me when to smile. Widely known as a meme, "You should smile more or less," is a classic example of well-intentioned feedback that women receive that reflects the narrow band of acceptable warmth women are allowed to express. You might be surprised how often men miss the irony in the title of our book and said to us, "Yes, we should smile more. That is good advice." Other examples like, "She's too emotional," and "She's not a good fit," speak to the lazy language and vague feedback that keeps women in a tightrope act. To be assertive but not aggressive, speak up but don't be shrill, that balancing act is exhausting. Let's give women more room to be themselves and not create an unfair contest between likability and competence. Number two, if you wouldn't say it to a man, don't say it to a woman. Once you know to look for it, you'll see gendered language everywhere. Be aware of the little words that diminish a woman's presence or refer to the female gender as less than. For example, calling a woman a girl in the workplace. Did you meet the new girl in accounting? Unless she is 12, this undermines her belonging. Would you say, "Did you meet the new boy in accounting?" Think twice about diminishing phrases like, "So easy my mom can understand." We probably all know now that "throw like a girl" is seen as negative, yet "man up" is positive. And don't get us started on bossy and pushy. Words matter, and here's a rule of thumb. If you wouldn't say it to or about a man, don't say it about a woman. Number three, allow diverse leaders to be diverse. To unlock the power of diverse teams and true diversity of thought, we need to make room for more styles of leadership. We should not keep trying to fit the status quo. When evaluating candidates for a team, think about whether this person is a culture add versus a culture fit. When giving or hearing feedback, any notes on style over substance should be questioned for specific connections to impact. How does that behavior impact my results? Is it a difference that makes a difference? I was once told in order to reach the next level, I needed to be seen breaking glass. I didn't have the perspective or the language at the time to question that feedback and ask how that style difference made a difference in my impact. In hindsight, I believe there were not enough leaders who behaved like me, and I was challenging the status quo of what a leader could be. Number four, don't be a biased bystander. If you witness a microaggression against someone else, don't be a biased bystander, become an upstander. Anyone in the room, male or female, at any level, can be a leader of inclusive culture. Here's an easy place to start. Pay attention to who gets credit for an idea in a meeting. We call this frequent phenomenon, "Great idea, Greg." This is easy for witnesses and bosses to prioritize, and it's important too, because not feeling their ideas are heard and valued is a top reason why women disengage in the workplace. Number 5, help women feel their full value. If you are a boss thinking about hiring and promotions, know that the research shows women often screen themselves out and are not as often judged positively on their potential versus results. And this shows up in the data of female executives getting promoted and female founders getting funding. Women are also less likely than men to gain sponsors, which are even more important than mentors in getting to the top jobs. As girls, so many of us were coached to put our head down and work hard and wait to be noticed, while the boys were taught to puff out their chests and boast. As women, we need to be prepared to ask for what we deserve. As leaders, if we value diversity at the top, we need to act consciously to make sure the access is really equal. You can find more practical how-tos for women, leaders, and witnesses in our book, You Should Smile More: How to Dismantle Gender Bias in the Workplace.
Thank you, Angelique. That was Angelique Bellmer-Krems with 5 big ideas from You Should Smile More: How to Dismantle Gender Bias in the Workplace. For another first-person tale of women in the C-suite, check out Bully Market: My Story of Money and Misogyny at Goldman Sachs. The book bites here in the app. I'm Rufus Griscom. Thanks for listening.